I love the Bible. I trust that you do too. And I'm thankful that when I pick this book up to read it, I don't have to wonder, did God say that or did some man say that? When I read my Bible, I know who said it. God said it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, where do you find those words? In this book. In this book. I want to speak to tonight on a subject that I think is most needful. It's needful in our community, in our church, and in our hearts individually. And that need is the need for an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost revival. That's what we need, folks. We think we need other things. We need a larger offering. We need a bigger building. We need this or we need that. No, what we really need in our churches is an old-fashioned revival. Now, what I want to say to you tonight is God still provides revivals. He's still in the business of providing revivals. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. And we're going to read two verses. I ask you to stand as we read these two. So we'll only read two so you won't have to stand very long. Jeremiah 29, verse 12. Jeremiah 29, verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'd help us in the next few minutes. Lord, I pray you'd give us a clarity of thought, of speech. Help us, Lord, we pray, to be a blessing to these dear folk who've come this way tonight. We thank you, Lord, for these who have come, and I pray a special blessing on each one. And help me to be a help to them this evening, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Now, these verses were written at a time when the Israelites had just been taken into captivity. And the prophets there in Babylon were preaching to the people that they were going to soon return to their homeland. But Jeremiah writes to them, sends them a letter, and says, what you need to do is plant your gardens and build your houses because you're going to be there for a while. But God's going to keep his word and God's going to return you. There will be revival. And here's the conditions that will be required for that revival. Then, now normally when I see the word then, I look back to what comes before. But then in this case refers to what's coming after. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. With all your heart. Now, you know we won't have revival if we make a half-hearted effort. You know, the double-minded man, the Bible says, is unstable in all his ways. If we're to have revival, and God knows we need revival in America, and we need revival in our church. Revival will only come if we determine we're going to have revival. Now, God still gives revivals. He's in the business of giving revivals. He provides them on the exact same terms as he ever gave them. God hasn't changed. God's still able to deliver revivals tonight, just like he did in the Old Testament, just like he did in the New Testament. God is able to do that still tonight. God is just as glad to answer prayer as he ever was. We noticed in this passage, what did Jeremiah instruct them to do? Pray. Pray. There's never been a revival that wasn't first bathed in prayer. If we're to have revival, God's people are going to have to pray. And I'm not just talking about a little 5-minute prayer. I'm talking about extended prayer. Maybe all night prayer. I'm talking about the kind of prayer that Bible people conducted in their lives in order to bring revival in their heart and in their life. We're going to look at some of these people here tonight. But what I want us to see tonight is this: God is the God of revivals. He has revivals for sale, if you will, if you'll allow me to use that term. God has revivals for sale. There's a cost for revival. God doesn't just give them away. There's a cost involved. And God has the same old-fashioned requirements for revival tonight as he has always had. You can find God if you search for him with all your heart. With all your heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. So with that in mind, I think it would be well for us to investigate some Bible examples of how people acted so that God heard them and answered their prayers and gave them what they needed. You know, I long to be like a Bible preacher. I want to be a Bible preacher. I want us to be Bible Christians and practice Bible Christianity. I like to hear Bible sermons and to experience Bible revivals. Now, I have been a part of a couple revivals in my life, but they've been many years ago, several decades ago. And I haven't seen much in the way of revival since. But I long to be a part of another revival. How about you tonight? Would you like to be a part of a revival? Would you like to see God move as he did on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago when 3,000 souls were saved in one day? Or in chapter 4 of Acts where 5,000 souls were saved in one day, to see God move to where Jerusalem was filled with their doctrine, or the apostles were accused of turning the world upside down for Jesus Christ? Wouldn't you like to see and be a part of a revival like that? Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. God is still able. The arm of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save, and his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated you from your God, and your iniquities have hid his face from you, the Bible says. I want us to look at some Bible characters. Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, chapter 24. David committed a sin. The sin he had committed was numbering Israel. Now, you don't have to depend on numbers in order to have a victory in God's army. You depend on God. But David numbered Israel. And as a result, God sent a prophet to David and said, you've got three choices. You can either have famine, or you can be chased away by your enemies, or you can be struck with pestilence. David chose the latter, pestilence. And so pestilence began to move, disease began to move through the land of Israel until they came to Jerusalem. And when they got to Jerusalem, the angel of the Lord appeared there. And this prophet said, you need to go up to the threshing floor of Araunah and offer to God a sacrifice. So David proceeds to go to the threshing floor of Araunah. And in chapter 24, I want us to look at a couple of verses. What happened was, when the king of the land, Araunah, saw David coming, he approached him. He said, what do you want? He said, I want to make an offering unto God here on your threshing floor. And Araunah said, I'll give you this threshing floor, and I even have oxen for the sacrifice and instruments that you can use to create a fire. I'll give all those things to you at no cost. But I want you to look what David said in verse 24. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. No, David said, I will not offer unto God that which did not cost me something. There's a cost involved. You know, if we worship God, there's a cost involved. Some folks think, well, you know, I can live any way I want to on Sunday and go to church on Sunday morning at 11 and worship God. No, you can't. No, you can't. The Bible says they that worship Him must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. God seeketh such to worship Him. So God wants us to be honest with. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school, Ananias and Sapphira, who weren't honest with God. And we have in our churches folks who aren't honest with God. But if we're to have God give us what we need, give us that revival we need, we must be honest with God. And if we're going to worship God, there must be a cost involved. What is that cost? What does it cost? Well, let's see. How did Bible Christians find God? Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Nehemiah was in the land of Shushan. And he was raised to the position of cupbearer for the king, Artaxerxes. And as he labored there for the king, some emissaries came from Jerusalem. And when they came, he asked them, he said, well, how are things going among my brethren back home in Jerusalem? How are they doing? And he got a bad report. Look with me. Chapter 1, book of Nehemiah, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Not a very pleasant report. Conditions weren't well there in Jerusalem. And what was Nehemiah's response? Verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. So several things here Nehemiah did in response. Number one, he fell down and wept. And he prayed. The Bible says he prayed day and night. Day and night. But he prayed. How do Bible Christians find God? Well, the way Nehemiah found God, he prayed. He wept. If we're to find God and have revival in our church, we're going to have to learn to pray. And shed tears. A broken heart. Was Nehemiah a sissy or was he a man? He was a man. But here's the encouraging part of that. He was only one man. But one man prayed, and one man got a hold of God, and through that one man, revival came, and the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt, the gates were rebuilt, the city was rebuilt. Revival came to Jerusalem because one man cared. God sent revival because one man sought the Lord. I think of other revivals that took place. There was a man one time that God said to go down to Nineveh. You remember him? Jonah? And he went the other direction. But God sent a great fish and swallowed him up. And there in the belly of that great fish, there was held a prayer meeting. And as a result of that prayer meeting, Jonah went to Nineveh, and a great revival was held in the city of Nineveh through the efforts of one man. How many would it take for us to have an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost revival? One man who would be willing to pay the price. To meet the cost. Look at Nehemiah 1 verse 5. And I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants. Day and night he prayed. When's the last time we prayed all night? When's the last time you prayed all night? We read in the Bible, Bible Christians prayed all night. If we want a Bible revival, then we're going to have to learn to pray all night. Preacher, what do you want us to be, fanatics? No, I just want us to be Bible Christians. And when I preach, I'm not drilling for water, I'm drilling for oil. Amen? What we're talking about tonight is serious business. It's life and death for folks out in this community all around us who need God. We can sit in here and be comfortable and relax and know that heaven's our home and God's our Father and our sins have been forgiven. But what about them? They had extended seasons of prayer. Let me give you another example. Go with me back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 32. In Genesis 32, we have the story of Jacob. Jacob, you remember, had stolen his brother's birthright, his blessing. Jacob's name actually meant deceiver, crooked. He wasn't a very honest person. So he had to leave home, and he was gone from home for 20 some odd years. But now he's on his way back home, and he comes to a little place called Peniel. He has word that his brother Esau is coming to meet him. And he's got soldiers with him. Swords and spears. And Jacob realizes that he needs to get right with God. Took him long enough. But finally God got him to that place. So in chapter 32, look with me at verse 24. Chapter 32, beginning with verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. His family's gone. They've already crossed over and moved on to meet Esau. And Jacob is left there alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. So he wrestled with him all night till the next morning. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. That's the man he was wrestling with. Saw he wasn't prevailing against Jacob. So he touches the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and Jacob becomes a cripple. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, this Jacob said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Now here Jacob is, he's a crippled man, wrestling with God. And God says, "Let me go." And Jacob says, "I won't let you go until you bless me." He was determined, wasn't he? He wasn't going to take no for an answer. You know, too often we take no for an answer. We ought to decide, "I'm going to stay on my knees before God until I get the answer." Have you ever heard of praying through? You ever hear that term? Praying through? That's what praying through is. Praying till the answer comes. Not giving up. Not quitting. Listen, if it's worth praying for once, it's worth praying for until the answer comes. The Bible talks about a woman who went to the judge, and because she wouldn't give up, but she continued harried that judge. The judge gave her what she asked for. because of her importunity, the Bible says. That's Jacob in this passage. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, that was God, prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." So Jacob wrestled with God till God gave him the answer. And we know what the answer is. The answer is revival. The question is, are we willing to pay the cost? Are we willing to pay the price to have an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost revival at Vision Baptist Church? I think that's what you want. I know it's what I want. I believe it's what God wants. Amen? Do you think God wants us to have revival? Turn with me to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel. The last of the judges, the first of the prophets. 15. Verse 11. Saul had disobeyed God. When God said, "Utterly destroy them," he did not utterly destroy them. He saved the best alive. Verse 10 says, chapter 15, 1 Samuel, verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments." And it grieved Samuel. It grieved Samuel. And he cried unto the Lord all night. All night. That sin broke Samuel's heart. We read about sin in Nehemiah's passage, didn't we, where they confessed their sins. Sin is an issue in our church, in our hearts. Sin will keep us from having revival. If we will not confess it, if we will not forsake it, we will not have revival. We need to hate our sin. Amen. God hates sin. We should hate sin. Sin keeps us from experiencing God's blessing. But what happens is, and what's happened is, we have become comfortable with our sin. Well, you know, my sin's not so bad. Look at Joe over there. Look what he does. I'm not like Joe. I'm not like Sally back there. You know what she does and how she lives. I'm not like she is. I'm not a bad person. But sin is what keeps us from enjoying the blessings of God. It was sin that broke Samuel's heart. It was sin that caused Jerusalem to crumble. You know, we need more preaching on sin. We were talking before the service tonight about rabbit trails. Now, that's a rabbit trail I could take, but I'm not going to take tonight. I just want to say, sin is something that needs to be addressed in our hearts individually and not ignored. if we are to enjoy the blessings of God. So we've looked at some Bible Christians who prayed. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible tells us Jesus prayed all night. The next morning he calls his 12 apostles. But before he called those 12 apostles, before he made that great decision of who those 12 were to be, he spent the night before praying. Jesus prayed. Now, folks, let me ask you, if Jesus needed to pray, don't you and I need to pray? Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Turn with me there. Verse 13, Jesus has just ascended into heaven. The disciples are about to return to Jerusalem. Verse 13, chapter 1 of Acts, verse 13, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They continued. How long did they continue? 10 days. 10 days till Pentecost. Pentecost means 50 days. The Lord spent 40 days after his resurrection with the apostles. So 50 minus 40 leaves how many? 10. So 10 days, these people remained in that upper room, is what the Bible says, and prayed. Is it any wonder in chapter 2, 3,000 souls got saved? When you have people who are willing to spend 10 days in prayer and calling on God? What do you think would happen if we had people who would spend 10 days in prayer and calling on God? Do you think anything would happen? I believe it would. Bible Christians prayed. Bible Christians wept before God. We read that in Nehemiah chapter 1. Turn with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified. When thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. What is the psalmist doing here? Confessing his sin. Confessing his sin. What did Bible Christians do? They prayed. They wept. They called on God. They confessed their sin. Verse 16, same chapter. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. What does God want from us? A broken heart. You know, we Baptists emphasize that our sins have been forgiven. And they have been. And we ought to rejoice that our sins have been forgiven. But you know what? That forgiveness came at a great cost. Somebody had to pay for that. And that ought to break our heart. That sin that I commit tomorrow, Jesus had to pay for 2,000 years ago. And if that's true, and it is true, what that means is before I commit that sin tomorrow, I ought to think about that. He had to pay for it. If he had to pay for it, is it worth my committing it? The answer, of course, is no. We ought to hate sin. One of my favorite passages, Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Many of you may have memorized it. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Tears. When's the last time we shed a tear for some lost person? When's the last time we shed a tear over our sin? Jesus wept, the Bible tells us. Acts chapter 20, turn with me there, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Verse 31. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. God help us to have a broken heart. God help us to be able to shed tears. So seeking God with all one's heart involves confession of sin. I think of Daniel. Daniel's another example. Turn with me there quickly. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. They confessed their sin. They prayed. Something else they did. Now closed. The Bible says they fasted. They fasted. They said, well, that was in the Old Testament. Well, they fasted in the New Testament too. Fasting is a Bible principle. I think once Jesus came down off the mount, and at the bottom of the mountain, the disciples met with a man who had a son there who was taken with a demon. And the disciples tried to cast the demon out, and they could not cast him out. Jesus came down, and the father took the son to Jesus and said, I brought my son to your disciple, and they couldn't cast him out. And Jesus cast him out. And after they had left, the disciples come to Jesus and said, well, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus' answer was, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. In other words, what he was saying was, you could have. You could have if you had met the requirement. We could have revival if we would be willing to meet the requirement, if we would be willing to pay the cost. I'm going to ask again, we asked earlier, how many would like to have revival? And we all would. That isn't the question. The question is this. Who would be willing to pay the cost? Nehemiah was willing. Jacob was willing. We read of others who were willing. But tonight, May 13th, Sunday, May 13th, 2018, is there one who would be willing to pay the cost to have revival? Is there one? Let's pray together.